Begin this year dedicating his zechus for the refuah shlema of a good friend of mine, Natasiyahu Yaakov Ben Gittel Rivka. How the parent been saying tilim on his behalf the past week or so. Today's shiur is going to be Psul Chazazis. We're up to the second half of the mission on Lamed Daled Amud Beis. I know Rabbi Leibowitz this year still doing the first half. I'm not sure if he planned on doing these psulim. He mentioned he wasn't planning on doing them, so. This should not be an overlap with when he gets to these. But the second half of the Mishnah Lamed Daled Amud Beis on the bottom lists a number of psulim by an esrog. And the first one listed there is also chazazis al rubo. If a chazazis forms on an esrog, on the majority of the esrog, that's possible, and therefore the esrog would be disqualified. You couldn't use such an esrog. So the Gemara, there's a few lines on Lamed Hamud Beis, explains that Amr of Chista, Davar Zeh, Rabbeinu HaGadol, Amru HaMakom Yeh BeEzro, Lo Shanu El BeMakom Echad. This is only true that if Rov, this Chazazis, forms on one place, in one location on the Esrog, about B'Shnayim U'Shloshim Mekamos Kasher. If, however, it was dispersed to two or three different places on the Esrog, such an Esrog would be Kasher. If that three of these blisters, we'll get to exactly what the definition is, two or three different spots, that would be Kasher. And Amr Le Rava Adiraba, the opposite. B'Shnayim U'Shloshim Mekamos Havale Kimenuma or Apostle. If it was dispersed to two or three different places on the Esrog, that would be a problem of Menumar, which is a different psul. It's a spotted Esrog. So, Ella, Yitmar, Seifa, Yitmar. Rather meant to say in the Seifa. The Seifa of the Mishnah says, which we can read this part, Al Mi'uta Kasher. If such a Chazazis developed on an Esrog, only a small part of the Esrog, not Rof, such an Esrog would be Kasher. And on that, Amar Rav Chisda, Davar Zer Rabbeinu HaGadol Amru, it's only true if a small chazazis develops on a small part of the esrog. Aval v'shnayim u'shloshim mekamos, if it gets dispersed two or three different places on the esrog, havle kimenumar upaso, it would be considered this spotted or like a spotted esrog, which would be paso. And finally, Gemara says v'amarava v'achotmo v'afilu b'mashu nami paso. If the chazazis developed on the chotem, which is the nose, the end of the esrog. We'll get to, perhaps at the end, where exactly the chotem is, according to the Rishonim. Even a small shear of such a chazazis would disqualify this esrog. So that's the basic Mishnah and the Gemara. So what exactly is the nature of a chazazis? What's the definition of a chazazis? What are the parameters of a chazazis? So what does Rashi say in the Mishnah? How does he define the chazazis? Rashi writes, Kimin abavuos dakos. What are bavuos? We like to participate in blisters. Some type of blisters, pimples, something disgusting, boils that develop on the esrog. Doesn't look very pretty. The ra'ah, however, how does the ra'ah describe chazazis? He says, Milashon yalefes, dimitargiminon chazazin. What's yalefes? Anybody look this one up? What? A disease?
Shredden,
similar to that.
Egyptian,
right? Well, let's go Egyptian rashes. Right, so how about this? Where's the Ra'al get this definition of? I forget what it means. Where does he get it from? What's the source?
Emor.
Parshas Emor. What's in Parshas Emor?
Like a guy comes to like basic mikdash, he wants to bring a carbon, like he can't have a mum.
Right, well, an animal that has such a mum is disqualified if it's a yalefes. A yalefes is one of the many mumim listed for the a behema, that you can't bring such a behema. And there the Targum writes, chazazin, a yalefes is a chazazin. A chazazis, the same sheresh. Sheyesh alav kamin gerev, which is also a type of mum of some sort. So the ra'ah doesn't describe it as how it looks something disgusting, abavuos, like blisters. It could be something disgusting, but he uses a source in the Torah, particularly in the context of mumim, by behemos and karbanos, as the source of that. So the machlokas, the ra'ah and Rashi, really goes back to something we've discussed a little bit last semester, I've discussed with a number of you. I'm not going to develop the idea, I'll just say quickly, what is the nature of the dal minim in general? Is the dal minim a mitzvah of ritzoy and karbon? As Sukkot continues right after Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, where we ask for tshuva and kapara. And Sukkot is a continuation, and we continue to ask for kapara. And according to the Alpi Kabbalah, Hoshana Rabbah is a big day of Kapara. According to even other Kabbalah, even Hanukkah lasts till then. There's some aspect of Ritur that continues through Sukkot, and the Dan Aminim were shaking as some type of carbon. Mitzvah Baba Vera, you talk about whether that only applies to dins that are Ritzoi in Barn El Aratzos. The Gemara in Tainis says that Lulav comes to Laratzos to appease, to bring carbonos, the aspect of things. The other idea of Dal Aminim is one of Hallel. You're praising a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We say Hallel all the days of Sukkot. We're giving Shrach and Hodah to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the shaking of the Dal Aminim is a way of like enhancing it and like dancing, if you will, singing and dancing. So those two ideas, I think, as Machlokas Rashi Ra'ah, are really taller in those two approaches. Rashi, and the Rav develops this idea, he thinks Rashi L'shitaso Olam Nevavam Nevez has such an idea. Rashi thinks that the Dal Aminim is a Din Hallel, praising a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And if you're going to praise a Kadosh Baruch Hu with something, you're going to praise it with something that looks nice, and it's Mehudar. Something that's gross and disgusting is not the best way to be Meshabach a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, Rashi, which again says later on, Lam Nevav, that's a Din Hallel, he describes Chazazis as Abavuol, something of blister that might be a little gross and disgusting and inappropriate to praise a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Ra'ah, however, uses a formal definition based on Mumim, because the Ra'ah perhaps thinks that the understanding of Dal Aminim is about carbonals and Ritzoi. And just like a behema cannot be brought as a carbon if it has such a Yalefes, such a Chazazis, so to an Esog can't be brought as a carbon if it had such a Chazazis. That's, I think, how to explain the Machlokes Rashi and Ra'ah. To be intellectually honest, if you look at the Meiri, however, in Kuf Amud Kuf Chaf Beis, was it Kuf Chaf Aleph? Here in Sukkah, he writes, Al Sachazazis Al Rubo, Vehu Kamin Gerev. That's one of the Mumim. Ve'Abu Voos Pasol. He uses both Lashonos. He calls it on one hand. He refers to one of the Mumim mentioned in Parshas Emor. Yet he uses the Lashon of Rashi, that sounds like it's just blisters, not necessarily a Mum. So there might not be a Machlokas Rashi Ra'ah if you look at the Meiri. Rabbeinu Menach does the same thing. He kind of mentions it in one full swoop, Gerev and Abu Vos. But the Orchas Chaim, which I have at home, that I didn't find in the base Medrash, he says these are actually two different deus. Some say it means Chazaz is Abu Vos, it's blisters, and others say a Chazaz is the Yalefes, as we explained. So at least for the Orchas Chaim, it is Machlokas Rishonim, and the way to explain it is perhaps based on the nature of Dal Aminim in general. Now, there are a number of other halachas in the Sugya of Chazazis which really go back to this machlokas, whether it's a din and mum, we'll call it now. Is it a din psul and mum, or is it psul and hiddur? So, let's first start with the Rush. The Rush has a number of discussions. And the Rush, in Simin Tesvav, has machlokas about rubo. The Mishnah says that a Chazazis, in order for a Chazazis to be pasul, it has to be berubo. What are the two days in the Rush? What does he say? Rubo means? Anybody see it? When the Mishnah says that Chazazis, in order for Chazazis to be possible, it has to be berubo, on most of the Esrog, how does he understand rubo? The Rush.
Yes, it's either on one side that you're looking at it, or it's
wrong. Exactly. So, to review the Esrog, if I look at it from one side, if you will, it has four sides, not really, but let's say it's four sides, so I look at one side of the Esrog. If that one side has a rubo of that side, that's possible according to one mandamar. The other mandamar in the Rush says, no, you have to look at the entire esrog. You have to turn it to the entire side, all four sides, and then you have to count up, is that rove of the esrog? So that's a machlokas. Rubo of one side or rubo of the entire esrog. How would you explain that machlokas? I'll tell you, based on what we said, it's not such a smooth understanding, but I think it makes sense. Any suggestions before I throw it out? Yeah.
Like carbon, is that as long as it has any amount of moon, then it ruins the entire thing. But as opposed to that, if you say that it's like it's more in simcha and it has to aesthetically look nice, then fine. If it's not, this is one part of it. Maybe it can still be considered nice in general. You know, the whole thing isn't really something on it.
Agreed. So I'll do it the other way first. I'll just repeat what Yoni said. If it's din and hiddur, the way it looks, it's about halal. So if it's only on one side, I can always hide that one side up and face it to myself, or when I hold it, somehow cover that side up, and no one will see it, and it will still be considered hiddur to the anybody looking. So therefore, you might have to have robe of the entire esrog. That no matter how I hold it, no matter what I try to cover, there's going to be something of this chazaz being shown, and that'll be a psul in hiddur. However, if it's a psul in it's a din in mum. So mum doesn't have to be, you know, the entire animal does not necessarily have to have the mum. A yalefes, which is the mum by animal, doesn't have to be on the entire animal, as long as there's one yalefes. There now still has to be a shear. The yalefes have to be some type of shear. So the shear by an esrog is robe of one side. That's the shear given. But as long as that mum exists somewhere on the esrog, even though the entire esrog doesn't have it, even though rubo doesn't have it of the entire esrog, that's still considered a mum and would disqualify the esrog for the use on sukkahs. The rush is in the same time. The rush is a second discussion. What's the din of shar yamim? Everyone agrees that chazazis is possible on day one. What's the din of using an esrog with the chazazis on the other days? Anybody see this rush?
Depends if you view it as psul hadar or psul chaser.
Okay, yeah, say it.
So if it's chaser, then it's only possible on the first day, and you can use it the rest of the days. But if it's a psul hadar, then you can't use it on any of the days.
Exactly. And hiddur creates hadar, it has to be hiddur the whole week of Sukkot. And chaser learned out from l'kicha tama, l'kachtem, which the drush is l'kicha tama, a complete l'kicha. If it's missing, it's not a l'kicha tama. L'kachtem b'yom rishon, that only applies b'yom rishon, day one. So if it's midin chaser, it's day one. Midin hider, it's possible the entire week.
Is chaser the same thing as mum?
So we didn't connect it yet. So does this connect? So during morning seder, everyone had a great question. It's not chaser. Having a chazaz is, if you saw the pictures, they have these blisters sticking out. That's not chaser. Chaser is when it's missing something. So that seems to be an inaccurate description of psul chazazis. So why would that be considered a chaser? Why would you call a chazazis psul midin chaser? That's basically what you're asking now, I think. We assume the connection, but forget the connection right now to mum. Why is that called a chaser? So I think it could be called a chaser if you understand a chaser in a conceptual way. I like that, Evan, right? That's what Donnie was saying, right? Evan's chaver is Donnie Joseph, who's not here for sure. He suggested this as well. Now, chaser literally means when it's missing something. You took a chunk out, a bite out of this esrog. But chaser could also mean something that is lacking inherently in the esrog. Even though physically it's not missing anything, but there's some inherent psul to this esrog itself. Hiddur is an external psul. Yes, it affects the physical part of the esrog, but it's the way it appears externally, how it looks. But chaser is something that's more internal, more inherent to the esrog. That's what, like, chaser is physically, how we understand chaser usually means physically it's missing something part of the esrog. It could also mean conceptually it's missing something. When there's a mum, it means there's something inherently wrong with this animal.
The question is, why do we choose chaser now? Out of all the psuls, why do we choose chaser, that this is most conceptually like?
What else are we going to choose?
I don't know. Pick something else from the list.
No, I'm saying the basic categories we have is like hiddur and chaser.
Like, what about if it's...
Yavesh is a problem of hiddur. All like the specifics all fall under a category of chaser or hiddur, those type of things.
Yavesh would fall under the category of chaser?
No, of the hiddur. I mean,
hiddur. What would chaser?
Chaser, that's the that's the category.
What else would fall underneath
chaser? Which is chazazis.
Chazazis, yeah.
Tilas pitum, taking the pitum off, might be a chaser.
Yeah.
So the specifics fall under these broader categories of chaser versus hiddur.
Okay.
So again, so while hiddur, although hiddur, you know, of course it affects the esrog, the way it appears, but it's externally how it's viewed upon, this esrog. It's not inherent, but a psul chaser is when there's an inherent problem to the guf ha'esrog. Something like a mum can't be brought because there's something inherently problematic with this behema, so do there's something problematic inherently with this esrog. So even though physically it's not chaser, it's conceptually chaser.
Right.
So this machlokes of the rush of the days would go back to, is the psul chazaz is a din in mum, and therefore would be like a chaser, or is it a din in hider, and therefore be and then the nafkmina being whether it's possible the entire week of Sukkot or not. Now, just to say, it's important to note in understanding mumim by behemos. When a behema has a mum, or a kohen has a mum, you could raise the same question. I was assuming that a mum is an inherent problem to the animal. It's an inherent problem to a kohen who does avoda. It's very possible there's a machlokas about whether that's really true. Whether ba mum, that's an animal that's missing a leg, is the problem because there's something inherently wrong, or the problem is because the way it appears. When you bring an animal, it should appear nice. So even the approach of a mum, even if you understand it's a mum, it may not be necessarily midin chaser. So, and just it's interesting, Mar Malkin, Meshe Chachma explains that when a behema or a kohen has a mum, let's say they're missing a limb of some sort, so that's indicative of something inherently wrong with them. It's a physical manifestation of something inherently wrong. So he asks, oh, but aren't there tzaddikim and great people who have mumim also? He says that's only so people, we don't know who has something wrong or not. Meaning, Kadosh Baruch Hu made some people with mumim that don't have necessarily problems internally in them, but Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't want us to know which ones had an inherent problem, which ones didn't. But fundamentally, whenever someone knows, fundamentally, a mum is a problem because there's something inherently wrong. The certain tzaddikim were given mumim, so you shouldn't know who those people were. But all I'm raising is by mumim of behemos, and kohanim has the same question, how inherent a problem is or how external it is. Yeah, chaser could be both, exactly. Chaser is this broad category of something inherently wrong. It could either be physically missing something, or it could be something internally wrong with it. The fact that this is mum, a chazazis, shows there's something, must be a disease or something wrong with this esog, and that is qualified. Right, so those two questions were on the rush. Again, rubo, how much does it have to cover one side or the entire esog? And the issue of yamim connects back to this issue. The third issue that comes up, only one of you shown him, I know that Jake saw it, was the issue of mechuber and talish. When does this chazazis have to develop on the esrog to disqualify it? Let's say it develops while it's still in the tree. Let's say it falls off the tree and then it develops afterwards. Does the chazazis have to be form on the esrog when it's still connected, or even if it gets detached, is it also going to be a problem? So what did you see on that, Jake?
It's attached.
What Prima Gadim say?
He says if it forms when it's tallish.
He says, right, exactly, regardless. Whether it was connected or whether it wasn't connected, if Chazazis develops on an esrog, it's going to be disqualified. But Tosis Rid says differently. He says, nearly, Shechazazis he be mechubar. Chazazis is only a problem when it's still connected to the tree. Ukimo, this is very important. Kimo shehiola, just like when it goes be bali chayim. Kachiola be mechubar lekarka. Just like the psul chazazis as a mum on a behema is only problematic when it develops on a live animal before you've shechted it. So too, an esrog is only a problem when it develops chazazis when it's connected to the tree. You shecht an animal, and then it develops a chazazis. That's not a problem. That's not a mum. You've already checked the animal beforehand, and then you shecht it. Once you start the avoda process, there's no problem with the mum anymore. He says, however, if the esrog does develop in a chazazis after it's been after it came off the tree, it will be a problem of yavesh. But that's a different psul. Yeah.
Well, you said that yavish resembles hider. Right? The yavish is an issue of hider, so he could be that he's saying that the category flips once it becomes from mechuber to talish.
It could be. He might say the trudinim. Maybe. But that before getting that chiddush, which I think is very reasonable. So what's this machlokas about? Especially in light of the Tosas Rid Raya. What are they arguing about, whether or not a chazazis is possible when it comes off the tree or not? Same idea. Same idea. Say it?
That would say it's compared to korban. They think that it's going to carry the same dinim as korbanos. So, just like over there, it has to be alive, so also you can say that the Esther Oak is alive, whatever while it's connected, and therefore it's only possible to perform then, perform Prima Godin. No, there's no like technical genin that has to file in order for it to become Tomei. I mean, possible, just you look at it, and whether it's possible, you know, if it doesn't look good, it's possible. It's not now. There's no technical genin you have to abide by.
Exactly. Who cares when developed the chazazis? If I'm holding an Esther Gonsukis and it has a chazazis, it's not hither. I can't be Mishabeach without this bar upon it. But if chazazis is a mum, so we have to look at the dine mum. When is chazazis a problem by a behema? Well, it's only a problem when it's mechubar, when it's alive. But once it's dead, there's no problem by a behema. So too, once it's dead, the Esther falls off the tree, there's no problem of chazazis. Now, Jake's pointing out something very interesting. The Tosis Rid assumes it's connected to the Baal Mum, and that's why it has to develop when it's connected to the tree. But then he says when it falls off the tree, it's not called, well, he says it's not called the Chazazis anymore. It says, Lo Tikr Chazazis, Veno El Machlis Yovesh. So I don't think he's saying Chazazis is Midin Hidr. Alright. It was a good thought, but okay, fine. So leave that point aside. So that was the third Machlokis in this Sugya that connects to this original issue. There is another one that is found in the Ritva. Anybody see the Ritva? In terms of which colors it has to be. So, this is talking about the second half. We've been talking up until now, Makom Echad. That if the Chazazis develops in one Makom, so it's a problem if it's Berubo. What's Rubo? Does it have to develop when it's Mechubar only? So the Ritva now goes on the second half of the Gemara. The Mishnah says, if there's a Chazazis, it's only an Amiyat, it's only a small part of the Esrog, it's Kasher. If, however, it develops into two or three different places on the Esrog, that would be problematic because it's Havile Kimenumar. It's like a spotted Esrog. So which colors does it have to be for it to be problematic? Certain greens are okay for an Esrog. Let's say I have a yellow Esrog and a couple of green spots, but green spots that are Kasher green, not a really dark green, but a lighter green. Three green spots, is that a problem or not? Is that considered Kimenumar? Or does it have to only be possible colors? For this to be this problem of Chazazis, it has to be a yellow with three really black or really dark green spots, and that's a Chazazis. So the Ritva says, he brings the Machlokes, he says, the Ravid holds that the only way that's going to be a problem, if they're, when and they're talking about, again, the three spot cases, only if these three spots are dark possible colors. They're black colors, they're dark green colors. If, however, they're lighter green colors, that's not so problematic. And the Ritva says, no, regardless of whether they're pasul or kasher colors, if it has two or three different colored spots, even though they're independently kasher colors, that's going to be problematic. So what's this machlokas about? So I'll say this one over, it's a little hard. I mean, hopefully you guys got those details, those sheets down. Yeah. That we're talking about the line of the Gemara that it's possible if the small chazazis develops in two or three different spots. Do those colors have to be possible colors? Or even if they're kosher colors independently, it's still different than the rest of the color of the esrog, and that's going to be problematic. Everyone agrees that by Chazazis, I should say this first. I should have said this first. Chazazis does not have to be any color. It doesn't have to be a pasul color. It could be even a kosher color. It could be a yellow on top of a yellow. But a Chazazis is a Chazazis. So the Ritva thinks that the psul Chazazis is a dinin hider, the way it looks. So if it's in one spot and you have enough of a shear, because robe of the esrog, you'll be able to see it no matter how you look at it. So that's going to be problematic, because you're going to see it no matter how you look at it, you're going to see the psul hider, if it's robe of the esrog. If, however, it's only in a small part of the esrog, only a miyut, that's not going to be a problem, because you could cover it up, you could turn in a certain direction, you won't necessarily see it. But if you see it on two different, if it's on two or three different spots, so no matter how you turn the esrog, how you try to cover it up, you're going to be able to see it, because now it's dispersed throughout. So the Ritva thinks this is an extension of the original din. Just like a real chazazis doesn't need, the only reason why you need a shear in the first place of a chazazis in one makom is to ensure that it's going to be seen no matter how you turn it over. The rov esrog was a din in how much chazazis. So to be also, two or three spots is a din in the shear of how much chazaz is needed. And just like a chazazis could be any color, it doesn't have to be a pasul color, it could be a kosher color, it could be a yellow chazazis in one makom, berubo, so too the color of a chazazis in two, three makomos also could be a kosher color, could be a yellow color. Because again, the Ritva thinks it's all about hiddur. It's a problem of hiddur if it's in rov of one makom, it's a problem of hiddur if it's in two or three makomos. It's all about hiddur for the Ritva. The Ravid, however, thinks that the psul esrog, the psul chazazis, is a psul begufa esrog, it's a psul, it's a mum. And only when the mum has a certain shear, even mumim requires certain shear. So only when the mum is in one makom, beruba, but to one makom, that's enough of a shear of a mum. But if the mum gets spread out to three different places, you're lacking shear. You're not starif different mumim if it's lacking shear. When it comes to mumim, you have to look at each mum independently. If each mum independently is small, lacks the shear, you don't combine them to add up to one mum. So once you have three different small mumim throughout, they're not considered mumim, because each independent is not a mum. You can't add them up. So therefore, the rabbi understand, why is it a problem then? Why does the Gemara say it's a problem if you spread it out to two, three different places? The rabbi must say it's a different psul. When it's two or three different places, it's not a psul chazazus anymore. It's a psul menumar. It's a psul of being spotted. And it has different reasons and rules than that of chazazus. That although a chazazus could be a problem, even if it's a kasher color, even if it's a yellow kasher, when it's two, three spots, it has to be possible. It's only possible if it's one of the psulim colors. We're no longer working within the realm of chazazus anymore. Because again, the rabbi assumes chazazus is midin mum. And only when a mum is only when the mum itself has the shear. But once it's spread to two different places where each are independently small and each independently lack a shear, you can't look at each of those makomos as a mum. So why is it problematic? The rabbi has to be mechadish. Oh, it must be a different psul. It's not psul chazaz. It's not psul mum anymore. It's psul because of menumar. It's spotted, but it has to be spotted with a psul color. Is that clear? Did I lose some of you guys there? Fine. There's another Ravid brought in the rush on a different issue, which I think would the Ravid would be going to Shitaso. The discussion in the rush in Simon Yutes discusses when dealing with this psul with two or three different places. When the chazazus is spread out to three different places, it doesn't have to be in one area, like one area of the esrog which has two, three different places, or it has to be spread throughout the rove of the esrog. I mean, let's say I have one psul on this side, one small chazazus here, another small chazazus on the other side. Is that going to be considered this two, three places? Or we have to focus on one makom, and on that one makom, all three have to be there. And if they're not in one makom, that won't be a problem. So the Ravid brought down the Rush says, in order for it to be a problem, it has to be in two or three different places. Shenisbazer hanimur berubo she esrog. It has to be dispersed throughout the entire esrog. And at first the Rush seems to like it makes a lot of sense. But then the Rush says, you know what? I think these two or three places have to be b'makom echad. You have to look in one makom. If they're dispersed throughout, that won't be a problem. And most importantly is what the Rush's Raya is. Why do these two, three makomos have to be in one makom? He says, the shnai mishlosh makomos dumya de makom echad. They have to be similar to the first half of the Mishnah. The makom echad, we have two chazazis. One chazazis that's in one makom, that's berubo, and there's another chazazis of two or three spots. He says the psul of two or three spots has to be identical to the makom echad one. Ma makom echad b'miyuto, just like makom echad is b'miyuto, af v'shnayim v'shloshim mekomos b'miyuto. So too, the two or three spots have to be in one miyut spot. So forget the svar here. What I'm more interested in is the raya that the Rush brings. The Rush is comparing the two chazazes to each other. The makom echad chazazes he compares to the beza gimel mekomos chazazes. That's really the same psul, like the Ritva we were just saying. that the Ritva said, just like a psul chazazis in makom echad could be any color, even a kasher color, it's still going to be a chazazis. So too, the chazazis in two or three makomos also could be any color, even a kasher color, because it's the same thing. One chazazis has a shear in one rub of one, and one has a shear in two or three different spots. And that's what the Rosh says. Just like the makom echad is one makom, so too the psul of two or three makomos has to be in one makom also, because they're the same type of psul. The Ravid, however, can't learn like that. The psul of two or three makomos is an entirely different psul than psul of one makom. Psul chazazis is makom echad. Psul of beis or gimel makomos is an entirely different psul. It has to have different colors. It has to be colors that are psul, unlike the chazazis. It has to be dispersed throughout the whole esrog. It doesn't have to be one makom, like the psul chazazis. Has to be spread throughout the chazazis. So I think the rival would be the shita so on these two issues. Is that clear? I lost you guys there. That connects. So I think that was the fifth issue within the sugya that connected. And we'll do one final issue in the psul chazazis, and that's the issue of chotem. The Gemara said one line. We were talking about how much shear, how big does it have to be. So the Gemara concludes, based on Amar Rava, Val Chotmo, if it's on the nose of the Esrog, Val Filu B'mashu, even a small amount, Nami Puzzle, it's also Puzzle. And that's why you see people look for Esrogim, they always start looking at the top of the Esrog, where the Pitom is. That's where the Chotim is, the nose part. Because if you find one of these Chazazis there, which nowadays, it's not really a Chazazis, but they look for any spot, it's a problem. So you first start looking by the Pitom area. If that's clean, if it's, then you can start looking elsewhere. But that's usually the first place, because even a kosher, even a small amount of chazazis, will be problematic. And the Rishonim say, who I didn't all the other psulim also apply. Normally, other psulim might require a certain shear, but with the chotem, even a kosher, even a small shear of any of the other psulim of Yavesh, would also be a problem on the chotem. So where exactly is the chotem? What is the chotem? Rashi says, Be'ove gavohu shemishapeya misham v'yori letzad rosho. From the area where the thickness ends and it starts to slant towards the pitum, or depending how you hold it, like, but let's say the pitum's up here. When it starts to slant upwards like a cone, that whole area is considered the chotem, according to Rashi. The Rosh in Simen Chav quotes Rashi. He thinks Rashi might simply mean that circle. He doesn't mean the whole entire slant. Maybe that circle alone is a problem. I don't fully get that, but the Rosh himself says it must be, he thinks it's the entire slant. What's the reason? Shenira sham le'enayim yoser mishar makomos. Because that area is recognizable to most people. Since it's slanted, you look at it. If it's, you know, the part that goes vertical, where it's, you don't see it as much, because you're looking down at it or something. But if it's slanted, it kind of appears that much more to you. So it's about near le'enayim. That's what the Rosh explains. Chaim doesn't like that, Matthias.
The Rosh assumes that we're holding the esrog like this at all times, that you never...
They want to know when you're doing the dalaminim, that's how you hold it, like that. So it's easier to notice that which is on the slant,
so
no?
So Rosh wants to say that it's that the din of hither is only when you're actually performing the mitzvah of dalaminim. There's no din that the esrog has to be held there, that the esrog during the mitzvah has to be held.
That's interesting, and that would actually make sense if that's the case. If he's making that assumption, which sounds like maybe he is, then because the problem is during the Hallel and Shevach you're giving to Kadosh Baruch Hu, during Hallel, that's when we're looking at, are you praising in the right way? Is this an appropriate esser? Maybe. Maybe that's what he's assuming. But either way, his concern, what we're getting out of this, is that it's near Beinayim. It's what it appears. The Ran brings the Deya, and similar to the Rambam, that no, the Chotem is only the Pitom area itself. The Ran says, it refers to the Mokum Gavoa Shetachas Hanetz, the area, the tip right below, like this little flower, whatever you call it, a little circle on top. That, like, what? I'm not sure the pitum, it's Mahogs where the pitum is also. Some say the pitum is that circle thing, some say the pitum is this stem that holds up the. So, but I think it's referring to, like, the stem right below that flower circle thing. That's what the Ran says. And the Rambam in the Chazayin says, refers to Al Dado. which I'm not sure if dado again means like that stem and then plus the circle thing or the circle thing only, but something along the area. It doesn't refer to the whole slant, but rather to that particular area. And any suggestions how that would connect? So, I think it's possible. Again, I didn't see any of this. This whole discussion I didn't see anywhere, but I think the Rambam might be assuming that the problem of Chazazis is a problem as a mum. And the Rambam refers to all the psulim and the dal and minim as mumim. He calls them mumim. And there are many other rhymes that the Rambam works with this idea that the dal and minim is a carbon, and the dal and minim is some type of ritzoi, and anything that's a problem would be a problem as a mum. So he's not concerned with Rashi, the whole slant, the way it appears to other people. That's a din hider. That's Rashi's shita in general. Rashi thinks it's about halal, it's about hider. It's about how it appears to people. The slant appears most. The Rambam doesn't learn that way. The Rambam thinks it's a psul as a mum. And it's possible that this area, this pitom, is, the brain of the esrog, I don't know exactly, it's a certain sensitive area of the esrog. That would, the source of everything in the esrog, and that would be super sensitive, hypersensitive to mumim. Like the different parts of the animal. Different mumim, different parts of the animal. So we view esrog as, let's say, an animal in different parts, and I think the next sugya will get into different parts of the esrog more precisely, but this part of the animal, the esrog, would have a mum with a kol shu. Just like there's certain mumim of an animal that has a kol shu, may not need a shear, so too, this part of the esrog would have this mumim. Not because the way it appears, because he's not concerned with appearance, he's not concerned with hither, he's concerned with mumim. And again, somehow this pitom might be super sensitive and it would be considered a mum. So just to wrap up, just to summarize the issues we saw, we raised the question whether or not this was a question. Chazazis was a psul as a mum and the source from Parshas Emor, the Rav brings source Parshas Emor, or it didn't hider. And then we saw issues, well, does rubo the entire esrog? Because that's the way it appears, because if it's rubo the entire esrog, it will be a problem hider, or it's rubo mitzad echad, because as long as the mum exists somewhere, that's a problem. We saw the issue of Shar Yomim. Is this psul mum a din in chaser, a conceptual chaser, or is it psul in hider? Nafkamina bidding the rest of the days. Hider is a problem the entire week. Chas is a problem only on day one. We saw the issue of Talish and Mechuber, Tosis Rid. He connected it to Baal Chaim and Karbanos. It's only a problem of Mechuber, not Talish. Prima Gadim said both cases. And then the Menumar, which is a little confusing, but the Rabbin thought Menumar was an entirely different psul because he had a certain assumption about Chazazas being a psul and a mum. There are two issues there. It was a little confusing. And then finally, the Chotem issue. What exactly is a Chotem? Whether it's simply the Pitom area or the entire top of the Esog, whether it's a Hidur or a Chaser.